This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Omar, here's what I'd like to find out, Omar. Omar, here's what I... Oh, God.
You can't say anything.
Omar, hi. Omar, do you actually hear me at the moment? Do you actually hear what I'm saying?
I like you in a sense, but the thing is, you get a home court, and you are saying that if you don't win this series, it's not a major disappointment. Philadelphia 76ers beat New York Knicks 3-0 in the regular season. We beat Atlanta Hawks 3-0 in the regular season. We are better than Atlanta Hawks.
This is DCR.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
On 98.7 ESPN.
7 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Yeah. As if you wouldn't be listening, now you have a chance to win Jets tickets later on during the course of the hour, and actually a chance to qualify to win season tickets to the Jets this year. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. I don't understand how Omar, when speaking and someone else talks to him, has no idea that someone else is actually saying something.
I just love the fact that when you said, do you hear what I'm saying at all? He just said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. He is amazing.
Well, Dave, Omar's got to get it out, man. He knows he's got a minute and a half, two max, to be able to say what he wants to say.
He knows you're quick on the trigger.
He doesn't
finger.
Want you interrupting him, man. He wants to get it all out.
No doubt about that. And if you try to interrupt him, he's going to battle through it.
Yeah, he's like, going to talk over you.
Yeah.
Do you understand face-off, the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, most of the time with Omar, no. And that's the answer.
He's going to win it. All right, let's get to some of these calls on Kyrie Irving because I know people feel a way about him one way or the other. 800-919-3776. Jason in Jersey City. Good morning, Jay. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the whole Kyrie thing, like he says, like, oh, basketball's not important. I know the dude's a gifted athlete, but he's got to practice, right? Like, he's got to, like, keep up on his skills. So he puts time into it, so... And don't the Nets have somebody, like, to help? He's too arrogant to hire somebody to help coach him through this PR stuff. But don't the Nets have anybody that can push him that way?
I have to tell you that I heard when he and Durant came over, part of their contracts that they were basically trying to work out is they don't have to do any media that they don't want to do. Nothing that they don't want to do. That was part of the deal. So that you can say, don't the Nets have anybody? You know, they're not listening to the teams when it comes to this stuff anymore. He's not the only one. A lot of players don't listen to the teams because guys are speaking their minds, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
No, I get that part. I mean, you know, that like I agree with you guys, but then also if he acts like he doesn't care about basketball. That's his paycheck. He obviously has to put the time into it,
right? The one thing I will say, Jason, about him is it's not like you watch him and you're like, God, he's not bringing it tonight, right? I will defend him there. Every single night this guy is sensational, right? He just went 50, 40, 90. So even if you don't like the antics or the stuff he pulls with the media or wanting to push his narrative on other things, if you don't like that, okay. But I don't think you can take the tact of, well, you know, he's not bringing it on the court whenever he's out there. Because he brings it every time he's out there.
Yeah, and I don't think this is about him not caring about basketball. I think it's about him not caring about the media that covers basketball. Those are two different things. So I think with Kyrie Irving, it's like he has the mindset that he doesn't need the media to do his job, or as he would call it, his art when it comes to basketball.
But he will use them when it's to what he wants to discuss.
Of course he will.
And that's the point that we're trying to make. You can use the media to amplify your messages about the causes that you're passionate about. Like that's the approach that you could take, and that gets rid of all of the drama surrounding why you're not making yourself available for these media sessions that other players are responsible for doing. I don't know. Fair point. Just doesn't make any sense for me. Like, if you're Kyrie Irving, it doesn't seem like it's worth it to go out of your way not to be available for the media as opposed to sitting down for 10, 15 minutes after a game and, you know, having a conversation about whatever you want to talk about.
But I think it goes back to the fact that he just does not care. right? I mean, he just he doesn't care what the media thinks. He doesn't care what you think, Carlin. He doesn't care what you think, Kathy. He doesn't care what I think. It means nothing to him. We're beneath him.
And I hear where you're coming from, Dave, but think about it. On this show today, we're spending more time talking about Kyrie Irving not talking to the media than about the things that he might be passionate about or about what the Nets are going to do with their first-round matchup, no matter who it is that they play, the winner of that 7-8, that 7-8 game with the Celtics and the Wizards. Like, that's what we should be talking about. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about him not being available for the media to talk to him and ask them their questions. It's
and
ridiculous.
I also do think that there's a difference between not caring what we think and talking down. And you know, there is a, like, you can handle it a lot more diplomatically and still not care what we think.
Well, here's the other thing, Carlin. Here's the other thing. You're right about that, but here's the other thing that bothers me with this. Like, I understand you might not like some of the questions that the media asks you, but, you know, talking to the media is an opportunity for Kyrie to talk directly to his fans, directly to the people that share his love for the game of basketball. And they could be some of the people that share his passion for some of the other things that he's interested in away from basketball. So for him not to take advantage of that opportunity when you have this type of platform, it just seems like a tremendous waste. It's not that he can't do whatever it is that he wants to do, but I just feel like he has an opportunity for so much more reach if he would go ahead and do these media sessions as opposed to not.
Let's go to Hannibal, which is a terrific name in Brooklyn. Hannibal, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Well, thank you.
Can you hear me?
We got you, loud and clear. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay. All right. So what I wanted to say is that, you know, Kyrie Irving, to me, he reminds me of a guy like Miles Davis. He's on his own track, you know, super talented. He does his thing. He provides the entertainment value that everybody likes. He's got a death handle. He's got an NBA ring, you know. He just sees the world different. And to me, it almost sounds a little bit dangerous in the sense of, it sounds like you guys are kind of skirting, not all of you, but you guys are kind of skirting, and it sounds a little bit like shut up and dribble.
I don't think we've said anything like that.
Come on, Hannibal. You can't say that now. Come on, give me a little bit of credit. That's not what I'm saying.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to explain to them, this is just a different dude.
No. If you're attacking Carlin and me, you're very unfair. We have no issue with him taking that angle of things, but I think you have to answer some of the other questions as well, is what we're saying.
It's just play the game a little bit, that's all. And when we talk about that, I respect what he is standing for publicly on every front that he's trying to make a difference. And I think that's phenomenal. But in the midst of not answering these questions and just telling guys that you shouldn't care about this, there are more important things and all that, you are... in essence, disrespecting them. They have a job to do. You know, you can, as Chris has pointed out numerous times, you can answer the question the way that you want to, but when you answer it just like that, nobody cares about what you're asking about. What you should care about is this. Like, that's, you know, that to me is disrespectful to people who are right in front of you and trying to do their job.
Yeah, I just think that there are other ways to handle it, Carlin. And to your point, I think there are so many other ways that he can handle this, like by you know, not belittling the media or the questions that they might ask, but at the same time being able to push the stuff that he's passionate about, even if it's not talking about basketball, if it's talking about other things. Like, I just, again, I don't understand why Kyrie is taking this approach and he wants it to be so adversarial, this relationship between him and the media, but I just feel like there's a lost opportunity in there for him to have an even greater impact by being able to use the media.
Let's go to Daryl in the car. Daryl, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Daryl? Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, you know what? I'm at the point. I just heard the other caller, Hannibal, and he was talking about just shut up and dribble. I'm at the point where you just might as well just stop dribbling the ball, because if that's what you feel, and it's a very good cause, do that. Stop playing basketball at this point.
I may be sounding sarcastic, but I'm fed up. I'm fed up. And I like you, Kyrie. You're a great ball player. But if you feel there's bigger things to be done, do the bigger things. Your job is to play ball. They're asking you questions after a game. We'll watch you play a game. We're asking you questions after the game. And there's a problem. Just quit. Retire. That's my thing.
I just, listen, I don't think he has to retire. He loves the game. He cares as much about those things as he does. That's fine. I mean, Stephen A. made the point earlier this year. If you're going to walk away from the game middle of the season and you're going to be working on these other things, that's another discussion. If that's strictly what you're doing. I personally think that probably had more to do with, you know, we heard about family issues, we heard about personal issues, things like that. I'm not going to try to get into a man's life when you're discussing that stuff, especially the way, you know, mental health is treated in this country. It needs to be taken more seriously if that's part of the equation for him or somebody else in there. Having said all of that, it does bring out the idea that you can do more good with the platform that you have if you can do it effectively, as opposed to just telling people why they're wrong and here's what I'm more worried about.
Right. The way he's going about it doesn't seem to be the most productive way for anybody, because it's not working for him. It's not. People are very turned off by it, and it's not working for the media, and it doesn't seem to be working for the fans, and it's not working for us here on the show. So I don't know who's winning here, other than he's telling you continuously he doesn't care, right? And basketball is completely secondary to what his main objective is right now.
Well, listen, everybody could understand why basketball would be secondary. I think when we start talking about the grand scheme of things, like, yeah, basketball is entertainment versus what he's passionate about, what he's fighting for, affects people's lives. So I get where he's coming from. But, I mean, if it's to the point where you don't feel like you can answer questions for 10 minutes after a game, if it's impacting you in that way, then I'm leaning a little closer to where that last caller, Darryl, was coming from. Like, go ahead and step away from basketball.
Make that your full-time project,
right?
Yeah,
we saw Maya Moore from the Minnesota Lynx step away from basketball because she was advocating for change in the criminal justice system. We saw that. There was a WNBA player for the Atlanta Dream that retired from basketball because she thought it was important last fall to be a part of the fight for getting people registered to vote down in Georgia. Like, we've seen athletes at high levels do that. So if it's that important to you, and if it's affecting you to the point where you can't meet your media obligations, then step off and do whatever it is that you're passionate about. And then come back to basketball when you're ready for it. But this half-in, half-out thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, I get it. Kyrie Irving saying he's got time to play basketball and be there for his teammates, but he doesn't want to have time for the media. But what I'm saying is when you're in the position that he's in, it's going to be hard to separate the two without creating this kind of distraction. And this is a distraction, quite frankly, that the Nets really don't need.
And it is kind of nice to be able to pick and choose what parts of your job you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's not exactly the way things generally
work. You know what,
though?
When you're one of the best in the world at doing your job, you are afforded luxuries that other guys are not.
I guess that's true.
Right?
I guess that's very true.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, very strong tweet from JohnMV123. He says, got to be honest, this is a really nice break from HDumpty39 and his shtick.
Wow.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Right?
We're not standing for that, man. That's our dude.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
We don't like that, John. Walk that back, bro.
And I miss Rick, and he's going to be back with us tomorrow.
I won't stand for any Rick slandering, despite the fact that this happens to be right.
Wow.
Look at you.
Bang, bang.
Don't be a Rick.
That might be a Mike Breen bang.
You truly believe, like honestly, brass tacks here, Carlin, you believe you're a better sports talk show host than Rick.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, that would be like asking Rick if he thinks he's a better goalie than me.
What?
Which, I mean, still debatable, but.
Wow. Now, Carlin, if we throw the term around pound for pound, do you feel the same way?
I don't think there's any doubt pound for pound that Rick is. He's getting more value out of his body than I am out of mine.
So do you believe, Carlin, you're the best host at the station?
No, absolutely not. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm joking when I say that about it, Rick. I'm just the guy that shows up for the thing, you know? Just make with the yuck yuck, fatty. Get us through and fill that hole and we'll get past
it. Very self-deprecating. It's a very attractive quality, Carlin.
That's what it is.
So I have expert predictions from the ESPN experts here. Would you guys like to hear them about these play-in games and first-round series?
Oh, yeah, Dave. Oh, yeah. Right. I want to hear it.
All right. So the Celtics-Wizards. All right. Where are you guys going? And then I'll tell you if you're with the masses or you're on the other side. Celtics-Wizards. That's tonight. Where are you guys going here?
I think the Wizards blast the Celtics.
Agreed.
I like the Wizards as well, as do 12 of the 16 people that were paneled here.
All right. Who are the four that don't?
Right.
Okay. Jerry Bembry, Nick DePaula, Nick Friedel, and
Nick DePaula is a comedian from Boston.
Well, he's very pro Celtics in this one game playoff, and George Sedano. Other than that, everyone is taking the Wizards here.
Okay,
Nick DePaula? He can't be a comedian from Boston.
Well, there is a comedian from Boston named Nick DePaula.
Okay,
yeah, but I don't know if that's him.
I can't imagine this is one and the same, or maybe it is. Pacers Hornets, the 9-10 matchup tonight at 6:30.
I like the Hornets.
I as well like the Hornets very much in this game.
Very much?
Yes.
Now, the game is in Indiana, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the Pacers, as will 10 of the 16 people paneled with this question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Western Conference play-ins. Lakers, Warriors. What do you think?
Lakers.
You know, the Lakers are 5.5-point favorites or 4.5-point favorites. I'm going to take the Warriors just because that's what I want to see. Wow. And I think they will win the game. I don't trust LeBron's injury.
15
right now.
Of the 16 people go for the Lakers. Guess who the one that went with the Warriors is?
Not sure. Go.
Yeah.
Nick DePaula.
Okay.
The comedian.
All right.
Maybe he is a comedian.
Yeah, maybe he is. Grizzlies Spurs in Memphis.
Grizz.
Agreed.
Yep. 13-3. There in that one. Miami and Milwaukee. Now we move to an actual best of seven, a full playoff series. The three Milwaukee. We found out Milwaukee is a prohibitive favorite in this one against Miami. Where are you guys going?
I'm going to say Milwaukee in six.
Okay. I will say Milwaukee wins the series as well, and I do not think you see a game seven.
You know, everybody, I bet you, not everybody, but a lot of people will pick the Heat in this series. Because they are what they are. I'll take the Bucks. I'll take the Bucks in six as well.
12 of the 16. 12-4 went with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
All right. We'll save the Knicks for last. Denver and Portland. And we talked about this. This is almost a pick 'em here. Almost a pick 'em in Vegas. Canty, where are you going?
I'm going Denver, and it's probably going to be a seven-game series, but I'm going Denver just because I don't trust Dame Lillard's supporting cast. I don't trust CJ McCollum, and I don't trust Nurkic. I just don't. I'll roll with Denver.
I'll take Portland. I think sometimes you can have that player that can carry a team, and I think he's capable of doing it. I'll take Portland.
I will take Denver as well, but we are split down the middle here. 8-8 Blazers and the Nuggets. Clippers.
Wow.
Clippers, I guess, are the biggest favorites in the first round against the Mavericks. Canty, where are you going?
I'm going Clippers. I think it's a different team. They got playoff Rondo, and they have Ty Lue. I just think it's a different team this year. I think they get it going, and it'll start with the Mavs. So, yeah, I'll take the Clips.
Give me the Clips as well.
Yeah,
I'll take
the Clips too.
In five.
I'll take them in five as well. 15-1 Clippers over the Mavs. Carly, you want to take a guess at who the one Mavericks selector is?
Would that be Nick DePaula?
No, it'd be Royce Young. You're not even close. Okay. And lastly, the Knicks and the Hawks. What do we think? Knicks and the Hawks.
I'm going Knicks in six, Dave. Knicks in six.
I'll take the Knicks in seven.
I'm going Knicks in seven. How about this now, guys? 14 for the Knicks. 2
wow.
for the Hawks.
Mm.
And they're underdogs technically in the series.
Well, not technically. They are.
A series that's kind of a split them.
They are underdogs in the series. Only Andre Snelling's and Royce Young again have the Hawks winning the series. Everyone else takes the Knicks.
Wow.
Ramona takes the Knicks in five. Even Nick DiPaolo likes the Knicks here in six. Bobby Marks goes Knicks in seven.
Dave, is it just me, or does it feel like there are more series in the first round that feel like they could go either way this year as opposed to years prior?
Yeah, it does feel like that.
You know what I'm saying? It just feels like there's a lot more parity. There's a lot more competition. Now, ultimately, the teams that ended up in the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, we know who those teams probably are going to be. But I just feel like these first and second round series are going to be more competitive than we've seen them in the past.
Which I think is great for the NBA, that you have series that could go either way. And you're not just watching it because it's kind of predetermined. You know what the outcome is going to be.
I really want to see a scenario, at least early in the playoffs, with one of the teams that didn't take the regular season all that seriously. And I want to see them in trouble. Because I do want to see a team really have to squirm for not taking the regular season seriously enough. You know, it would just really bother me if the Nets are going to roll through the final. Like, I'd love to see somebody give them some trouble early. I the Lakers, it was more not taking it as seriously just because of health. But I hate the notion that you could have two teams in the final that did nothing to even remotely care about the regular season.
Well, a couple things. Firstly, I agree with you. I think it's a bad look for the NBA. Secondly, I think that the Nets and Lakers are on such opposing sides of the spectrum here. The Nets don't care at all. I think the Lakers cared. There was just they became injured, and they had to make the best of what they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, Carlin. The Nets are going to squirm a little bit in the second round.
Yeah.
I mean, if they got to play the Bucks, that's not going to be an easy out for them. Now, I would expect that they would win that series. But that's going to take something out of them.
Well, but I mean, I am one of those people that feel like the Wizards, even though Beal says his I'm not going to say they're going to beat him. I'm not saying they're beating him.
They'll kill them.
I'm not saying they're beating him. That they could give them some trouble.
I don't see it.
I'm not saying seven. I'm saying that they could make them sweat in a couple of instances. That's all.
I think that's a sweep.
I would be shocked if it went more than five games. Shocked.
That's a sweep.
Yeah, I think they're going to crush. They're going to score 70 points a game.
That's a sweep.
Score at will.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Carlin, since you're the guest on the show, we greatly appreciate having you, but you're not going to be with us the rest of the week. Would you like to, please, when you're sleeping at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be like, oh, I wish I was with the guys. Stop it. Would you like to give away the Jets tickets now? Do you want to make people wait a couple minutes? I'll leave it in your hands.
Sit tight. We'll get to you. Just, you know, be paying attention. Understand that when the sounder comes.
Yep.
That's the moment.
Which
I think
I think is going to happen at any point very soon.
Yes.
Very, very, very soon. All right.
Keep listening.
Yeah,
lock it.
Right. NFL power rankings on ESPN.com. Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah, Dave. I don't have to get ready if I stay ready, so let's do it.
Okay. All right. Even a little music would be delightful right now. Oh, and there it is. The NFL music. Let's start. I'm going to throw out some random teams. You guys will tell me where you think they rank, and then we'll get to the Jets and Giants in just a moment. Who do you think is worse? 32 teams. The last ranked team in the NFL, according to the power rankings, is?
The Detroit Lions.
They are 31.
Hmm.
Carlin, for the win, who's 32?
The Houston Texans.
That is correct. The Houston Texans check in as the worst team in the NFL. Detroit not far behind. They are 31. Let's go all the way to the top. The number one team in the NFL is, Canty?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Carlin?
Same.
No, both wrong. What? It is the team that Tampa Bay beat in the Super Bowl. The Kansas Chiefs? City Chiefs are number one. Tampa Bay checks
yeah,
in.
About
Tampa Bay check.
They brought everything back for Pete's sake. You know?
Tampa Bay checks in at number two. Who's number three?
Number three team.
May I?
The Rams?
The Rams.
The Buffalo Bills.
Carlin is correct. The Bills are three. The Rams are four. Where do the Packers fall in here?
With or without Aaron Rodgers?
I guess that's up to you right now.
I'm going to say the Packers are...
Well, let me just tell you this. They are, from where they're ranked, I would say with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. I'm going to say the Packers are... Let's go six.
Six, Carlin?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
You're both right there. The Packers are five, right behind the LA Rams. Let me quickly scroll through here and see if anything else catches my eye. Browns are seven. Seahawks, eight. Niners, nine. Titans are high. They're number 10. All right, let's go with the locals. The New York Football Giants. Canty, the New York Football Giants.
I'm going to go low 20. So let's say 23.
Okay. Carlin?
I'm going to go 19.
You can't beat perfection. Canty with 23, right on the nose. Explain this to me, though. The Giants were 21 after free agency and have now dropped two spots to 23.
They didn't like rookie minicamp, Dave. They didn't like rookie minicamp.
I guess not. I guess they don't like Tony.
They hated the Kelvin Benjamin signing.
Yeah, I guess. And Corey Clement. Player who benefited most from the draft says Daniel Jones. The Giants were going to draft Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. This is Renan who has this little write-up with the 11th pick if they had fallen to that spot. They didn't. Giants were so intent on getting more playmakers for Jones that they still drafted wide receiver Kadarius Toney after trading down to number 20. As if adding Galladay and John Ross and Kyle Rudolph in free agency and getting back Saquon Barkley from a torn ACL wasn't enough. Now Jones has Toney in the mix. Any lack of success from Jones in his third season won't be due to a lack of talent around him. I got to tell you what, guys. If the Giants are 23... that would be a bad season for them. I need and expect the Giants to be better than that.
So you want them to be a top half of the league team, somewhere top 16?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay.
I think the Giants between, 14 and 17 is a reasonable expectation for, year three of the quarterback, year two of the left tackle, year two of the right tackle, you get Solder back, you have Galladay, you have Barkley, you have Rudolph, you have Toney. Yes, I think they should be better than 23.
And this is year four for your general manager, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean,
if they're 23 at the end of the year, it's the general manager's out and the coach is on notice.
See, I don't know the coach is on notice, but I do believe the general manager.
Yeah, I think the GM is out. I think the coach is the one that's helping to pick the next general manager.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. Judge, who do you want? This is interesting. Bears 24, and of course the Giants fan will keep an eye on the Bears all year long. All right, where do the Jets fall here, guys? Where do the Jets go?
I'm going to say the Jets are 29th.
Carl.
I'm going to say the Jets are 27th.
I'll split the baby, guys. The Jets check in at number 28, which, Canty, if I had asked you this very same question before free agency or before the draft, you would have been right. They were 29, but they moved up to a powerful 28 since the draft took place. Rich Cimini writes here, player who benefited most from the draft, quarterback Zach Wilson. After drafting Wilson with the number 2 overall pick, the Jets actually gave him some help by following up with 3 consecutive picks on offense. Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. The previous time they opened a draft with 4 straight choices on offense was 1983. This is a departure from how the Jets built around Wilson's predecessor, Sam Darnold. Wilson already has struck up friendship with Moore, who figures to play immediately. Vera Tucker projects as a day one starter at left guard, and Carter could work his way into playing time in the backfield that lacks a true running back one. Call this draft Wilson and Friends for the Jets in 2021. Bengals 29, Jaguars 30, and like we mentioned, Lions 31, and Texans 32. They are your post-draft power rankings.
Well done.
I disagree with the top of that ranking, though. There's no way that I would put the Chiefs as a team ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No chance. No shot.
They are just overly respecting them for all they've done with the offensive line.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
That's what I think.
Well, can we overly respect Jason Light for bringing back all 22 starters and Antonio Brown from a Super Bowl team? That's never happened before.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
It's ridiculous. The team that won the Super Bowl, we're going to put them number 2 to the team that they beat in the Super Bowl.
These Chiefs apologists
all
over the country. Sham.
Boy, we really struck a nerve with you, huh, Carlin?
Nothing I hate more than people who just can't see things objectively. That's all.
Okay. All right. Now can we make it time?
No, I don't think so.
We're still not going there?
I think you got to wait a couple more minutes.
Mm. So it's 7:44. By 7:50, will we give this away?
Maybe. Oh,
I should never have turned to you for advice on this. I should have just done it on my own.
Maybe. Now, listen, you got to earn it, don't you?
All right, let's go to Earl in Brooklyn, who's really disappointed in you. Go ahead, Earl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Get in line.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's talk about Colin. Good morning, Colin. You hung up the phone on me a couple of weeks when I said to you that you were very adamant about the trade for Beal and everything, just like Canty and Rothenberg and DiPietro. But that's all right, Chris. I still love you. Canty. I just bought $200 worth of Milky cigar. That's the most I can give you. I'm not rich for your wedding. I'll send them to you wherever you need them.
I appreciate you, man.
I don't
appreciate
have that much money, but you just tell me where you want me to send them, and you can get they're $10 each. They're Milky cigars. They're great. But the Knicks. Okay, I told you the Knicks would finish five games over 500. Now everybody on that team, starting tomorrow or today at practice, must blend into what he's saying on the field, on the basketball court. They must go and follow every rule that Thibodeau is telling them, because they're not experienced in the playoffs, so they got to do it perfectionally.
But Earl, you make it sound as if they didn't do what he told them to do the entire regular season. They obviously have abided by what Tom Thibodeau was selling, and they've done exactly what he's asked. Yes. No.
They got to keep selling the same brand. They can't fall off. There's no room for falling off right now. Do you agree with me, Canty? There's no room. Everybody got to be on the same page consistently.
Yeah, it's not even about falling off. It's about picking it up. Just because the playoffs is a different animal, and as we've talked about, there's not a lot of playoff experience when it comes to the starting lineup for the Knicks. Now, they do have some guys coming off the bench in Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson that have been there, done that, but I mean, the guys that you're going to be counting on, they haven't been on this stage before. So it'll be interesting to see how they react.
I look at them, and if you're expecting them to be really any different than what they were during the season in terms of paying attention to what the coach is selling, I don't think you're paying attention.
They're going to play hard for you.
Yeah.
They're going to give you all the effort they have. They're not the most talented team in the world, but they're going to give you everything, and they're going to be well coached, and they're going to play a tough brand of basketball. I know what you're looking for.
Yeah, and in the talent department, they have such little margin for error, and they realize that. So they have to give you everything that they have.
And I don't. Do you doubt for a second that they will?
No.
Listen, the Knicks might lose the series, but they're going to give you everything they have.
Now, I do wonder if he will make the point guard change, because it's not like just completely shaking up the entire apple cart. It has to be apparent by now that the defense from Elfrid Payton is not outweighing what's going on otherwise.
But I don't think he will, because if you and you're saying start Derrick Rose?
I'm saying don't start Elfrid Payton.
So you're cool with them starting Ntilikina? You want to throw Frank out there?
Do you think it's outlandish to suggest that Frank, if Payton really struggles, is going to get a little bit more run since he defends?
Oh, no, I don't.
I'm not saying there's an ideal answer here.
No, I don't think that's completely outlandish, Carlin.
With
you on that.
It's just because of the absurdity of the situation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, and there's an argument to be made that maybe Frank, because of the matchup with Trae Young, you know, his length will be able to give Trae some problems, especially in pick-and-roll situations. Like, I get how you could make a case for that, but, I mean, that just tells you how bad your starting point guard position really is.
We know
really
it's is. Bad. I mean, it's the worst part of the team right now. Kevin and Nutley. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7.
Perfect timing, fellas. Good morning. I don't know how Tibbs does it at this point, but I do think the move you make right now in order, because I do think the Knicks have to win this series, fellas. I do. I think they're the better team, inexperienced or not. I think you do need to start Ntilikina and bench Elfrid Payton, as crazy as it sounds. Ntilikina will play hard. Let him use up some of those fouls on Trae Young. He's been shooting the three at over 40%, which Elfrid Payton can't hit, can't hit the ocean with a rock. And I think you keep Derrick Rose with that second unit, and I think you let him continue to do what he's doing, close out games. And, I mean, when you look at Payton's effort, how do you have your teammates look at that, especially your young guys, when you're trying to get out of the first round here? So, yeah, it sounds crazy and outlandish. I would agree with that, Canty, but I think Nilakina needs to start and keep Derrick Rose where he is in order to win this series, because the Knicks have to win this series, fellas. They have to.
No, Kevin, I said it didn't sound outlandish. I don't think it's completely crazy or out of left field to consider it. I just don't know what Tibbs' appetite for doing that at this point would be, because you've seen what this formula has gotten you in terms of being able to get you a top four seed in the East. Like, I don't know that he wants to go and make a whole lot of changes, knowing that this team doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Like, you don't really want to go tweaking things or changing things if something has been working for you, especially against an opponent that you swept in the regular season. So I don't know.
The one thing that I will say is it can't mean more minutes to Derrick Rose. I can't pushing him up to 39, 40.
Agreed.
Like, you know, so
yeah, it can't be more minutes for Rose, Dave. Nope. And you have to keep that second unit intact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I Nilakina, I guess I'm hesitant to say go with him, but it can't mean Rose starts the game and plays the first 8 minutes, because now all of a sudden he's not in your second unit. And you change the entire dynamic of this team. Carlin, now.
Now, Dave.
Now, Raymond. Now.
Touchdown! The Jets have won it in overtime!
Oh, I'm reasonable.
Oh, very much so. I thought nothing less. Jets fans, the 2021 schedule is out and tickets are on sale right now. Catch all the action live at MetLife Stadium this season when the Jets host the Buccaneers, number 2 in the power rankings, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Saints, and more. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, and you'll win a pair of tickets to the Jets home opener against the Patriots. Winners will also be qualified to win season tickets, all 9 home games, this Friday when the Michael Kay Show randomly selects the grand prize winner. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium are on sale right now. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. I cannot wait for football. All right, 800-919-3776. Guys, KJZ, of course, they're going to start with the NBA. The play-in tournament starts tonight. A game at 6:30, a game at 9. Then you have tomorrow, the Western Conference, a game at 6:30, and a game at 9. So we'll have some answers as we take to the airwaves tomorrow morning. 800-919-3776. We'll get to the baseball in just a moment, but let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys. Listen, Elfrid Payton, you know, I said earlier, if I had a brick to hit myself in the face every time he threw a brick, I'd be dead by now. But, Colin, listen to his...
optimistic take there, Steve.
What's that?
What an optimistic outlook on the entire thing.
Think of all the lives that could have been saved.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? The formula's working, so we gotta work it. And listen, if they want to play Knicks ball, you got 5 fouls. You got 2 people on the bench, hard fouls. Make them, you come in the lane, this is our lane. Do not come in this lane. And somebody's got to knock the snot out of somebody every now and then. Legally, though, we got 5 fouls. We can do it.
Don't the Knicks get 6, or the Knicks are getting 5 in this season series for some reason? am I wrong?
Stall him out, Dave. Make it, man. We understand what he was saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
They get lots of fouls.
And we agree with what he's saying. Like, I have no problems with the Knicks getting physical with Trae Young.
Oh, I want that.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and beat up on him a little bit. Try to slow him down. Keep him out of the paint. Keep him from collapsing the defense and being able to kick it out to shooters. Like, I don't want this to be an up-and-down game. And whatever the Knicks can do to slow down the pace, that's exactly what needs to happen.
Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, my friends. 2 quick points. One, I agree with you with getting physical with Trae Young. I said the other day, run him into screens and picks, use your fouls. Trouble with him is he doesn't miss a free throw, but we'll take what we got. I want to make a comment on Kyrie. You guys know me like this, you know, casually, but I was a cause fighter. Not that I'm not anymore, but I'm just older. And sometimes the message has to be put out there. Now, I don't agree with how he's using his platform, but since I'm a kid, nothing much has changed. So maybe it's time to do it, not agreeing with the way he's doing it, but step out and do it a little differently. I give him a lot of credit for stepping up, but you got to choose it the right way. This is controversial. You put this out there, it's going to be such a percentage one way, such a percentage the other. I admire what he does. I know he gives a lot, but I give him props for trying. Again, not agreeing with the method.
Yeah, Spike, I guess where I'm coming from is this. I don't want to get into deciding what is the right or wrong way for another individual. But what I will say is this, like, you know, talking to the media is a part of your job responsibility. And if you don't feel like you can do that, then, you know, maybe you need to take some time away from that job. Like, we saw Kyrie Irving a couple of times throughout the course of this year, you know, step away from the team. You know, we don't know the exact reasons why he did those things, but he did. And I'm just saying, if these causes are affecting him to this degree where he doesn't feel like he can talk to the media 10 minutes after a game, then maybe he does need to step away from it. That's all I'm saying. I just don't think that he should take the approach and be so adversarial with the media when it's completely unnecessary. Like, he can still meet his media obligation and not take away from what he's doing. And not distract from his basketball team. That's where I'm at with it.
KJZ, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, all he has to do is just do it more in a tone that doesn't sound so dismissive of other people.
Yeah, he sounds That's like, I don't care what you think, and what I think is what goes. KJZ going to lead with the NBA, and they'll do that in about 4 minutes from right now. Let's spend a moment or two on the baseball, and then we'll go three stars and put a bow on this one today. Stanton hurt again. We know that. We discussed it earlier in the show, and Carlin, I think you agreed with me. Stop lying to me if you're the Yankees. Stop. He's fine. There's nothing wrong. He's clearly not fine. There's, of course, something wrong. He's back on the injured list, and why can't they ever be truthful with us, ever?
It's not even just that. It's they kind of hurt themselves. When you're dealing with somebody who has this history, why not just be cautious about it right away and not play shorthanded for a couple of days?
Remain calm. All is well.
Exactly. You know, just, and when you're going to send, listen, we all know the deal with Stanton. You don't have to say no big deal.
Yeah.
You don't have to say that.
Everything is a big deal.
And then, of course, everything is an IL stint.
And if we think the Yankees have injuries, can't he? I mean, the Mets are, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this before. You look around this team, if you said, I couldn't even name you all the guys that are hurt. The Mets are playing guys yesterday I didn't know it walked the face of the planet until they went into the game last night.
Yeah, it's Armageddon with the Mets, Dave. I mean, it's a long list of guys that are on the IL right now, and you just wonder whether or not the team is going to be able to stay afloat until you get some of those guys back. Like, that's the biggest thing. But if that's going to happen, if you are going to stay in pole position in the NL East, you're going to need the guys that are available, guys like Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, and Dom Smith. Those guys are going to have to step up and give you some more punch offensively.
They absolutely will. All right, Santi, let's see what you got. Three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Going to bring it back to something you guys talked about early on in the show, the definition of yeoman. And I want to make sure we're a program. We don't want to offend anybody out there that listens, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all agree on this?
That's correct.
So I want to make sure we get one of the definitions in here that everyone is happy. So a yeoman can also be a petty officer concerned with signaling. So somebody in the Navy, for instance, a petty officer in the U.S. Navy or Coast Guard performing clerical duties on board the ship. So we want to make sure that gets...
So Dave was, when he said I was doing yeoman's work, was basically calling me, you know, an office administrator.
Basically.
Essentially, yeah.
I thought that yeoman's work had like a positive... No. You know what? I'm looking at the definition right now. Very good, hard, and valuable work that someone does especially to support a cause, to help a team.
We knew that already. We're just clarifying all definitions. So
they've done yeoman's
happy.
Work in raising money for the organization. So no, I say you're doing yeoman's work and I'm the bad guy?
Stop speaking at Nobody me dismissively said, like Kyrie did.
You're making it worse. On that note...
Number two,
but you... The Kyrie Irving thing, and I don't want to crack jokes. I think everybody can agree that we all agree with what Kyrie Irving had to say, that there's terrible things going on in the world and we should address them. But at the same time, people generally don't like when you talk at them or are condescending or pretentious to them. And I think Kyrie Irving needs to learn that a little bit.
Yeah, Dave.
Dave Rothenberg might have to
learn that as well.
number one.
Oh, Omar in Brooklyn kept us waiting for his Knicks call, but he brought it today and continued to yell indiscriminately while not listening to a word we're saying.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
But he's always entertaining. Omar, you call back whenever you want, buddy.
He has a lot to say. There's a lot of screaming that goes on.
I love Omar. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him.
He's going to yell and he's going to scream. And for his sake and everyone's sake, I desperately hope the Knicks beat the Hawks in this series. Carlin, now we're going to miss you moving forward.
I enjoyed the last 7 days.
Yeah. We appreciate you, man.
Great
work. Thank you for having me.
Great job.
And I will think of you when I wake up at 8:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, and we will not think of you when we're napping. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Dave, Canty, Carlin, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.